This call is being recorded.
Bro, this is Yoshi speaking. Can you hear me?
Hi Yoshi, this is Shane. Yes, I can hear you.
Hi Shane. Thanks for coming to conference.
It's great to have you on the conference too. We will wait a couple more minutes for people to join.
Okay.
Hello, Madison. This is Shane. We've
Hello.
also got Yoshi from Toshiba on the line. Now, we've had a
Hi,
couple of people join.
Mark here.
Hi, Mark. Welcome on board. And I
Hi,
think we
Shan.
have the Toyota group as well.
Yeah, Shan-san, I'm also kind of from Toyota.
Welcome, Endo-san.
Hello.
So we have Yoshi-san from Toshiba, Mata-san from Hitachi, Endo-san from Toyota, and Mark from Wind River. Mark is going to have to leave the call soon. So what I'd like to do is to hand over to Mark first. I'm sharing my slides, so you should be able to see them on the bottom right of
Okay.
your screen. And I will just move to Mark's section now, and we'll do the project update later. Oh, Mark, over to you.
Sure. Thanks, Shane. Hopefully you can hear me. I'm in a hallway here. I'm actually at a seminar, and so anyway, I just want to let people know that I've incorporated the changes we recently discussed about the training, and I included the evidence of verification artifacts, which hopefully you guys can see and review and tell and give feedback about whether they make sense. The next step in this process is to talk about the roles and responsibilities. And what we need to hear from people, I think what's most important, is we currently have two types of roles, an internal and an external. Hold on a second, hold on. I have to move. Hi, can you hear me? Okay. So what we have right now is we have an internal and an external liaison. And what I think is the challenge for us is to think about, are there specific roles or specific responsibilities that every compliance program should have represented? And are these current ones we have, are they correct? And are we missing some? And this is the section where I think we might become a little prescriptive. Some people were concerned that we might be letting go of some important responsibilities. And particularly when we were in training. And so the question is, and we don't have to answer it today, this is the start of that process, are there specific roles that we think should be required of all compliance programs? One role that comes to mind is some kind of legal guidance consulting role. I think we all expect that in conducting your compliance program, you might come across legal matters that require you to reach for either internal or external counsel, the external guidance. Should we be more prescriptive in this one section, say every compliance program should have that role? Let me pause for a second and see if there's any questions about what we're trying to achieve here.
Just a quick note on my end. Whenever we get prescriptive, I get worried that we might accidentally end up excluding some companies which are still doing something valuable, but just different.
Right. So that's an excellent point, which if we add someone, it's our belief that that person absolutely, or not person, but that role, and you can have several roles covered by one person, or you have several roles covered by several people. That's the big question we're asking ourselves. One thing that's special about us than compared to something much more bigger like ISO 9001 is we're dealing with a very specific function or type of program, compliance, license compliance. Now, we should challenge ourselves and say, if we ever think that there's a possible person, we think I shouldn't use the word person, it's a role that every function should cover. That should go through a very rigorous test. Is that prescription or that prescriptive thing, is it really, really that important? And only under those conditions should we put it in there. But this is an opportunity because some people felt when we were in training, we were dumbing it down too much. And that this might be the section where we add in certain absolutes. Let me pause again and see if there are additional concerns or thoughts. And Shane, if you want to elaborate more, please do.
Sure. So Imada-san, Endo-san, and Yoshi-san, do you think it would be troublesome for your companies if we said, oh, this is a role and you should have it? Do you think you need to have more flexibility to decide roles for open source compliance? For example, internal liaison role, external liaison role, other roles. Do you need flexibility to decide
the role? Or even the role of, should it be a legal, should you have a person, who a go-to person for legal matters,
yes,
for example? And then we have to ask our question, if we forego that one, does it weaken the spec?
I'm a friend though. In general, Japanese companies have outside liaison is difficult. So if the open chain defines an outside council or outside liaison, I think better things, but it is a little difficult for each company, maybe, because almost all interests of the open source is how to handle inside the companies. So many companies have the inside liaison, company inside inner liaison is exist, but to think community or to think about the contribution is a little difficult for Japanese companies. So I think better things to put the outside liaison, to define the outside liaison is a good idea. Yeah, but a little difficult.
This is just speaking from Toshiba. I also have the same opinion with Endo-san, because most of Japanese companies difficult to have outside liaison. From my side, this is my first time to attend this conference call, and I'm not familiar with outside what outside liaison is. So, yeah, that's the reason. But that's also the reason why I think so. Thank you.
Okay. So we will continue, I think, to have this discussion. I think people might press us to define these roles that we already have more, or possibly even eliminate them. But I want to start people thinking about this. We should see some discussion over the email as well, and we can instigate that. The other question that comes up is people talk about automation. And automation's fine, it's a choice. Some people want to automate as much as possible. But we have to ask ourselves, should there always be somebody in the eyes of the spec who's held accountable for poor performance of automation, right? So if automation is used, right, great. But it's not an excuse for trying to solve something if it's done poorly. And so if someone's always held accountable, use as much automation as you want, but someone has to answer for it. And even when you build automation, someone has to, have the competence to know what to look for or what to do. I'm a little concerned that if people want automation, then they can say, I can write some programs and we automate everything and we satisfy all the requirements, right? It spits out this, it spits out that, and that satisfies all the verification materials, but the quality of the materials are quite low. And without having a human being accountable, I think can put this spec at risk. Okay, so let me pause a little bit there.
Mark, I think that's a really important point, because we have the potential for people to say, yes, automation magic will fix this. And we currently don't have a way to hold someone to account. That sounds like a very good point.
And so I think this is a section. We don't need to talk about automation, right? What we need to do is talk about accountability.
Yes.
And if someone, and there's accountability for certain things in a process. And by the way, a company can have one person who becomes accountable for everything. And another much bigger company can have many people accountable for different things. So there's no real number here, right?
Yes.
But the key is there's a responsibility or a role in responsibility, and then you associate it with accountability. Whether that all goes to one or to many is up to the company. There's no prescription here for that. And
yes.
So we shouldn't talk necessarily automation. That's up to everybody to do it, but as long as there's a person who's to answer for it. So that's the current thinking. I think the last big task in front of us for this current version, actually there's two. It would be this section, which we're going to have to, you know, get right. And then there's always going to be section 5, I believe, because we talk about, I won't go into great detail, but section 5, I think, might be again considered for optional. I understand why it's there, but section 5, where we talk about contributions out, and then we all acknowledge it's an important part of our company, it's not a requirement for someone to have a program, right? And we can talk about that. I don't want to really spend too much time. So I think there's two major milestones remaining for us to work through on this current draft, and that's section, what I would call section 2 and section 5 of the requirements. That's all I really have for today.
Mm-hmm.
Please feel free to offer up some additional ideas or threads on the email list, but this is where we're starting our next journey. Okay.
Perfect. Thanks, Mark. That's brilliant. Thank you very much for making time.
Okay. Thanks. Bye, guys.
So we have an interesting moment where we need to think who should be accountable. And maybe that means that nothing really changes about the spec. We just make sure that when we have something happening, we always think that someone should be accountable. If there's automation, that's great, but someone should be responsible. And perhaps we ask in the future spec that companies write down who is responsible. I think that sounds reasonable. What do you think? Well, I'm guessing that everyone probably finds it reasonable as well. No objections.
Yes.
Thank you, Endo-san. Thank you, Yoshi. Okay. Let me give you the project update. So, we've got a couple of interesting events. OpenChain will have a workshop, a steering committee meeting, and a board meeting at Open Source Summit Europe on the 23rd of October. The timing for these meetings is designed for Europe and America. That's going to make it difficult for Japan. The reason for this timing is that the last time we had a meeting, we had it arranged for America and Japan. So we're giving the European audience a good schedule this time. So on the 23rd of October at 3 p.m., we will have a workshop. That's 3 p.m. Scottish time, so GMT. At 4:30, we will have a steering committee meeting, and at 5 p.m., we will have a board meeting. For our Japanese companies, I will provide you with all of the slides and information before the meeting, and you can let us know what your vote would be, what you have to discuss, what you are concerned about. There will be no surprises at this meeting. We will be talking about new members of the Open Chain Project. We will be talking about the budget for next year. And we will be talking about standardization. The new members of the project have already been discussed on the governing board list. The question of budget for next year will probably be quite simple. We will probably have the same budget as this year. And for ISO standardization, I expect no changes. We will just continue on the path that we already have. The second bit of news is that we have a webinar with the company Flexera. Flexera is involved in compliance. They bought a company which was doing a lot of compliance scanning called Palomita. The webinar that they're giving us will just be 100% open chain. So it's a great way to advertise us to the Flexera customer base. We also have interesting development this month that TUVSUD Japan is public about their open chain certification program. In the next month or two, I hope to welcome TUVSUD as an official partner to the Open Chain project. We also have a new web app in beta for checking OpenChain conformance. This web app is a contribution from Source Code Control, a UK company. It is not intended to replace our online conformance. It is intended to be a benchmark or a way to record how a company is doing. So it's just a tool for companies to use as they're doing conformance. Those are the big project updates for this month. I wanted to check if you have any questions or comments or concerns.
Ken-san, I have to go Mexico, Argentina, Brazil from this weekend, so I can't attend the board meeting. So I'd like to review the document and I agree about each topics by the email. It is no problem.
No problem. I will make sure to get you the slides so you can discuss and decide.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Endo-san. Yoshi, it's the same. I will make sure you have this information. I will also make sure that Ueda-san at Sony has the information. I know that Amada-san from Hitachi will attend the board meeting. So basically for Toyota, Sony, and Toshiba, you will get the information in advance.
Okay, thank you very much. I also plan to attend the board meeting because I'm attending an Embedded Linux Conference Europe.
Fantastic. Wonderful. I'll be sending a reminder. Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. Let me confirm which what time at the 23rd.
Of course. I will send a reminder to the mailing list as well. But basically, 3 p.m. is workshop, 4:30 p.m. steering committee, 5 p.m. governing board.
All right. I think that works for me.
Perfect. Okay. Any more questions or comments today?
Chen-san, I'd like to discuss about the TIFU's third-party certification.
Yes.
I think it is a very good thing for the Japanese companies because it is really difficult to certify by the Japanese companies. So, but I think if ISO will be introduced, I think it is become very important for the governance, how to certify the certified companies, because
yes.
So do you have some idea or opinion of this issue?
Yes. I personally think there are two things we can do. First of all, we can be very strict about who we welcome as certifiers. Mm-hmm. So, for example, TUBSUD has a long history of certification, and they have a team with knowledge of open source. So they are a reasonable prospect to consider. But I think that we should be very careful about who we consider. And I can only think of a few companies in the world that are sort of automatically trustable. TUBSUD is one example. Another is UL, Underwriters Laboratory. They do a lot of certification around technology. So I think step one, only work with very high quality, long history certifiers. Step two, I think we should have a series of requirements. For example, requirement one, they have a team that knows open source very well. Requirement two, they have to understand and know the OpenChain project very well. And number three, they have to promote OpenChain and discuss it and advertise OpenChain, not just their service, but OpenChain with their community. I think if we approach it that way, very similar to the consultancies, we can have reasonable quality and good understanding of which partners. What do you think?
Yeah, I think your opinion is correct and reasonable. So would you like to continue discussion on the concrete criteria for the each requirement?
Absolutely. My suggestion is that this week, perhaps I can email the governing board to discuss the criteria. What do you think?
Yeah, very good thing.
Perfect. I will do that this week.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? All right. If there are no other questions, then for today, our telephone call is complete. And I will talk to all governing board members by email with the governing board slides and also the certify the certifiers concept that will happen this week. Thank you, everyone, and talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.